and welcome to another episode of Science Chat, the Science Communication Podcast. I'm Sean Marshall. On Science Chat, we're always trying to bring you examples of people communicating or presenting science in unusual ways. And one good example of these is Niamh Shaw, who is presenting her science show, That's About the Size of It, as part of Absolute Fringe, a 16-day festival of theatre, comedy, music, dance and spectacle in Dublin. Niamh, welcome to Science Chat.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Maybe you could start by telling us what's your show, That's About the Size of It, all about.
I suppose in a nutshell, the best thing I could do is ask you this question. Have you ever made a decision in your life that you've thought about and you've wondered, was that the right thing to do?
Probably loads.
Yeah, there's loads.
If not every decision.
There is, yeah, well, it's kind of that. And what I do then is I travelled to CERN. I was very lucky. I got Arts Council funding to travel to CERN. And I've been kind of trying to teach myself quantum physics. And one of the things that really caught my eye was our possible existence in the 10th dimension. And if we do exist in the 10th dimension, then we have the opportunity to look at all the possible probable outcomes of every part of our lives based on the decisions that we did and didn't make. So that's what I do. I take the audience through the science behind that first. So take them through, you know, what's going on at CERN very briefly, then take them through very briefly what string theory is in my limited ability of understanding this beautiful theory. And then I kind of apply it to my own life, because there's one thing about saying that to scientists, because we're all going to, you know, be gagging for that kind of information. But when you put it in a public platform like a theatre, you're going to have a very mixed ability in the room. And I wanted to catch their attention. I want them to go away. If they even picked up 10% of what I said, I'm happy. That's a result for me, you know, in terms of the science of it. And so by using me and my life and the decisions that I made, I kind of reckoned that they'd connect with that. So that's really in a nutshell what the show is about.
And how does the show work on stage? How do you present it on stage?
I wanted, circles kept coming back to me again and again and again. CERN, that beautiful globe that they have at CERN, is a circle. I think about the circle of life. I think about the circle in terms of, for me, the first thing that sort of grabbed me as a child growing up in science was the circle. I had major difficulty understanding pi because somebody forgot to teach it to me properly, and so circles kept coming up. So what I did was, I'm sort of in the middle of the room. I removed all the chairs. Beauty space is sort of very like a cafe sort of space, so you have a kind of a raised stage and then you have all these tables and chairs. So I just removed the tables, pulled all the chairs back into as much of a circle as I could, and then I'm in the middle of the room, and I have a blackboard floor. And that's in the shape of a circle. So I communicate there. And then there's a screen behind me where all my other versions of me appear from time to time. So that's kind of the space.
I know you've done a couple of performances already. So
yeah.
Has the show had a good reception so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, it actually has. It's been really good, you know, because I was really worried. I've never combined these two parts of me before. I mean, this is, for me, this is quite a personal journey as well, because I've always had this conflict within me about who am I? You know, which is the essence of what the show is about, because I've always kind of thought kind of analytically, and then I have this artistic part of me. So I was very worried about it, you know, and I didn't think if anyone got it, but they do, and they love it, and everyone goes away kind of thinking about their own life. And then it's lovely because, you know, I think people who haven't come across this science before, you can hear them kind of yelping with delight that they get it and they understand the surprise of what I'm saying, and then the magic of it. Because for me, I think science is really magical, you know, like to kind of think that way and to see things that way. So, yeah, I've done two performances so far and both of them have gone really well. So I've been lucky, you know, it's been great.
Yeah. And what's the premise really of what you're trying to do in the show? Do you want to, you know, get people questioning their own existence, or are you trying to educate them about, you know, physics and string theory, or is it primarily to entertain them, or is it a mixture of all three?
I actually think, Sean, it's a mixture of all three, because it's very important for me. One of the things that I've always been passionate about, even, you know, in the system, in third level college, to never make information elitist, to always make it accessible. And I've always believed that you can teach anybody anything. If you understand something really, really well, you should be able to explain it to somebody else and they should get it, you know, and then they can go away and beaver away. Because I know lots of people who've had really bad relationships with science, and that really kind of bugs me, because I was very lucky. I had amazing science teachers all along the way that kind of fired my imagination. And I suppose it's very important for me that people see science in a new way on stage, and they're not afraid of it, and they've learned something from it, and they've been entertained by it as well. And that science, I think, is, and I really want them to know that it's all around them, and nearly everything that's made in this world, there's some science behind it. Some brain will, you know, spent a number of hours inventing that, figuring it out based on some physics or chemistry or biological principle, and that's what's got it to that point. So that was really important for me. And yeah, I suppose as well, there is that sort of existential element to it as well, because we're all just human beings trying to figure out who we are. And there is that element to what I'm saying in the show as well. So that's an added bonus of, yeah, maybe go away and think about what you've done with your life, you know. And that's the thing that keeps coming back. Lots of people do come back and they go, you've really made me think about my life and the decisions that it made. And I've gone, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted. And you know, and they really, some of them are just so happy that they understand these beautiful theories that are coming out of CERN, you know. So, and as well as that as well, I wanted to educate people about CERN too, because it's all over the papers, and even for me, I had to kind of sit down and go, what are they actually doing there, and what is this Large Hadron Collider, you know? And you know, I would even have a natural interest in that, but then there's always parts of it that you don't fully understand. So I just also wanted to give them that too, that you know, the next time they pick up a paper and they see something about the Large Hadron Collider in CERN, they have a better handle on it, and so, you know, they can talk about it with a little bit more ease.
I guess you've answered my next question. I was going to ask you what makes you want to perform a show like this, but maybe you can tell me, you know, for somebody whose background is as a scientist, how did you get into acting, and how did that all develop?
You see, this is really where all this has come from, is that I've always been confused. I always had a bit of a brain in me going to school, and I seem to have an aptitude for analytical and logical thinking. I was okay at maths, not amazing at maths, just okay, you know. And all the time, there was this other creative part of me. And the two of them sort of were fighting for, you know, fighting for their rights to be, you know, to be acknowledged for a very long time. And what started happening, there was always these crossroads in my life that I would be in the, like, I remember being in the middle of engineering and nearly leaving to study acting. Then I'd stop. And then I'd go back, and I was doing a master's in engineering, and in the middle, I nearly left to go and study acting. And then I finished my PhD. The PhD was brilliant because I was completely absorbed in that. And then after finishing my PhD, it came back again, and I went, I've really got to acknowledge this. I have to, because it's not going away. So it's always been there, and it's always been a real struggle for me to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think in the last year, because of the different kinds of people that I've been working with, they're much more experimental than just, say, you know, straight acting sort of things that I've been asked to do. They've been much more sort of go away and create something yourself from scratch. I think that I'm actually a bit of both. And so this was really my first step into that, of combining the two of them. So it's been a long struggle for me to finally allow myself kind of say, I actually think I'm a bit of both. There you go. You know, and that's who I am.
Yeah. So you wouldn't describe yourself as an actor, and you wouldn't describe yourself as a scientist, then. You describe yourself as
a theorist. I think I'm a bit of both. I think both are equally strong. I'm equally passionate about both. And sometimes you can get distracted purely by science. Sometimes you can get distracted purely by the art. But ideally, I would love to develop something where I'm using both at the same time. And this was my first step into that.
And do you think that it's very unusual, you know, to be someone like you who is both comfortable as a scientist and is also comfortable as an actor and a performer? Because I know when I first started looking at science communication, we came across a lot of evidence, if you like, of scientists who weren't particularly good at doing anything other than the science.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of that portrayed in the media, in films, and even in programs like The Big Bang Theory, where you've got some very brilliant scientists who have no idea how to communicate with people. So do you think it's unusual for?
Well, I'm not sure, but I because in my search to find out who the hell I am, I've always been sort of really aware of anything that I could find that would kind of, you know, acknowledge my identity about it. And one thing I did come across, which was really interesting, was that they found that a lot of people that are eccentric are both highly creative and highly, you know, analytical kind of brains. Like there was one amazing article in Scientific American there a few months ago, which really kind of just went, oh my God, I'm not alone. And it's about that thing that there are certain people that are intelligent and creative. And when they were growing up, they generally felt like square pegs. because there was no real place for them, that they couldn't combine the two. And they put it down to the way creative people think, and if they're analytical as well. And it's called schizotypal personalities. And it doesn't mean that we have a disorder. What it means is that when we look at something, most people, when they look at information or you know, they're just surviving on day to day, they will only look for things that have any relationship to do with what they are looking for in their life, like their basic needs and something that, you know, helps them get to the next point in their life. Schizotypal people have a tendency to take in loads of information that is completely unrelated and then form links from that, which is generally what creative people do. And then these people that have both creativity and science are able then to take it and apply it scientifically or bring science into it creatively. So I found that very reassuring. But we're kind of an odd bunch of oddballs as well, though, you know, because I do, as a scientist, you know, I, with my scientific brain, the amount of people that said, how can you think that if you're a scientist, that, you know, I would be somebody that would, you know, I wouldn't throw out the idea of people being connected on some sort of psychic level, you know, paranormal activity. I'm fascinated by all that. And this is seemingly what a lot of people like me are. That's typical of the type of personalities that we are. So that was very reassuring for me to find that, because I went, yeah, well, no, I'm not alone. And there are other people like, but I think they're kind of considered to be eccentric. So they would be those kind of people in the scientific world who would dress very gregariously, or, you know, they just sort of stand out. They're just different. So that was nice when I realized it wasn't just me that's a freak. But I don't dress, just so you know, I actually don't dress here, just for the record.
As you've now more than gone halfway through the run of the show, is there any of the content that you can maybe share with Science Chat listeners who may not be able to make any of the shows? I mean, quite a lot of our listeners are overseas.
So what I take is I start with atoms, because I really like atoms, because I think they sort of unify everything together, because everything, all matter is made up of atoms. And then I just take the audience very briefly through what's in an atom. And then I take them through, you know, okay, you've got protons and neutrons, and we kind of go that far to the leaving cert. But then from then on, there's, you know, they're finding more and more particles. So I take them through quarks and leptons and gauge bosons and this hunt for the Higgs particle. What is the Higgs particle? And what they're doing in CERN, and then this beautiful string theory, which to me is absolutely stunning. So string theory says that the particles that making up everything in our universe, so all the atoms, all the quarks and leptons, and all these subatomic particles that they've been finding, they're all made up of even smaller ingredients, tiny wiggling strands of energy, which look a lot like strings. And these strings are unimaginably small and exist at higher dimensions, the 10th dimension. In fact, if an atom were enlarged to the size of our solar system, one string would only be as large as a tree on our planet. That means that me and all of you, we're all made up of atoms. So that means that we're also composed of these vibrating strings of energy, and that we all exist on the 10th dimension. The 10th dimension. Now, I thought I just existed on the third dimension, but now I exist on the 10th dimension. So then it goes on and I explain what the 10th dimension is, and then I go through all my life. So that's
well, it certainly sounds very interesting. And I hope that any of our Science Chat listeners who are in or around Dublin make an effort to see if they can get down there next week to catch some of the shows.
Yeah.
Are there any plans to videocast the show or to have excerpts of it put on YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, well, we're going to video. I mean, I'm part of this. I mean, I've been really lucky. The Absolute Fringe take five actors a year, and they give them this great opportunity called Show in a Bag, of which I am a part. And we get to come up with an idea, and we get fantastic support. And one of the things that we do get is they video the show for us. So I'll definitely be videoing the show. And so myself and Una Kavanagh, she co-created it with me. The two of us would have worked quite regularly together. She co-created and directed it for me. So we were very lucky that we got that initiative from them.
Okay, so I'll keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have you any further shows coming up that our listeners might be interested in? Any more ideas of bringing science and acting together?
Yeah, I have an idea about happiness, because, you know, next year is Dublin City of Science and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking away about happiness, and I'm very fascinated by serotonin. And serotonin serotonin would be a chemical in our bodies which seems to be very much linked with addictive sort of behavior, but also sort of when people are in love, interestingly enough, when they're in that sort of obsessed love phase, when the person just, you just think there's absolutely nothing, there's nothing more perfect than this person themselves, their serotonin levels drop really low and they exhibit behavior similar to obsessive compulsive disorder, which I find really interesting. So I'm toying with the idea of trying to find a way of measuring serotonin with audiences or something, but that might be my next show, something to do with that.
Okay, well, that certainly sounds interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see what comes of that. I have to get funding and everything now. I haven't even started, but that'll be my next idea, I think.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to thank you very much, Niamh, for talking to Science
Thanks,
Chat.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, that's it for another episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about Niamh and her Fringe show at www.fringefest.com/event/ That's About the Size of It. And the show has a couple of more runs to go on Monday 19th and Wednesday 21st of September. So if you hurry, I'm sure you can still get tickets for these. And as usual, you can find out more about this episode and other Science Chat episodes at www.sciencechat.net/workers.